Okay, there we go. All right, we have a number of different stories to go through and help bring focus and clarity to all of you about during this hour. There is nothing really big and new, although in our world there is. But if you're looking at the majority of the media docs, the carnival sideshow acts, the frauds, the phonies, the hydras and the king cobra hiding in your kitchen sink faucet. No, they're running out of material. So they're recycling things. They're going back to graphene oxide and things like that. They're going to have to come up with something new pretty soon. They're working on it. They are, it seems, introducing a few, two or three new alt-media voices of truth. But they're not voices of truth. They're disinformation experts. And they're pretty plain to us. We watch. One of them goes along very shrewdly, verbally, and then starts talking about the Hydra as if it's a parasite and it's a real thing. And it's in the vax. Wrong. That's how you tell who's real and who's working for the deep state. Okay? I have no proof. I don't have check stubs. But I can tell you that the rest of his narrative, this particular individual, is full of logic and reason and seemingly good science. And then he throws in the Hydra. Doesn't work. He's not dumb. That's planned. So just be at your best when you're listening to these people, if you do, and always use discernment. Think carefully about what they're doing. And if they say a lot of good things and then they say something that doesn't ring right with you, that's probably a good indicator that they're not what they seem. Okay? And believe it, nobody gets to a position of notoriety, of high visibility in the alt media or any media unless the deep state wants them there. Okay? Keep that in mind, always. All right, time to introduce and say hello to my colleague and partner, Erica, who is very quietly and ladylike sitting there. All right, young lady, what's going on?
Hi, Jeff. More of the same. Continuing with the sideshow, as you said, and I guess trying to maintain focus. Logical,
trying
to
maintain focus. Well said. Yeah. Just keep in mind that the deep state and the CIA and whoever else is involved, they're behind these people. They coach them. They put them where they are. These are placements. Don't forget that. Please, just keep it in mind. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying this is the way the media is constructed now to control, influence, feed out the misinformation, the disinformation, etc. And they do a hell of a job of it. They fool most of the people most of the time. That's what they do.
Yeah, they're adding a level of confusion to everything that's going on. It's just keeping people's heads spinning. They don't know what to believe.
We have trouble following some of it. It's just too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, and you want to be able to rely on somebody consistently, but more often than not, they take a wrong turn and they're off the rails.
It doesn't take but a moment, and they are off the rails. Did you get the thing I sent you on? We're not going to go into it, but on the Zyklon B?
No.
Oh, check your mail when you get a chance. Mm-hmm. It should be there.
No, I don't have it.
Damn. All right, I'll resend it. I'll find it. We are going to start out tonight, once again, pardon me, with the issue of masks, okay? I saw a video this morning of some fellow laughing at people who think masks work. Okay? And it just came out, apparently. If I can find it, I'll play it. But their agenda is no masks because they want people breathing on each other and inhaling near each other, vaxxed and unvaxxed. Why? because of the vectoring. They want to spread the spike protein, maybe the mRNA, maybe lots of other things that we don't yet know, we haven't been able to figure out. But they don't want people with masks on. A, because they work to a substantial degree. They're not perfect. And B, they want people to be breathing into other people's faces, both vaxxed and unvaxxed, okay? The unvaxxed are going to get sick from the vaxxed, and the vaxxed are going to get sick because they have AIDS, and they'll get things from the unvaxxed. So there are two reasons right there where you should wear a, why you should wear a mask when you go into a store or any crowded venue. If you want to be practical, you do that. If you don't, then good luck to you. It's your choice. Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I'm definitely not advocating a mandate. I mean, this should be left up to the individual to decide when and where it's right for them, and maybe it's not right for them. But I don't think we can dismiss the strides that were made in the medical field when masks were introduced.
Please.
Yeah. Okay, that's just hand washing, but then there is quite a bit of reference to the introduction of masks for surgical procedures and just caregiving. And the protection went both ways. The medical staff that was charged with treating people that were infected with various bacterial or viral illnesses, just by wearing, I think the initially it was just a two-layer of gauze face covering, it cut down on the incidence. So almost 100%, I think, was the figure.
Correct.
Of a particular bacterial infection. I mean, the medical staff did not get sick once they began using face masks. And it was protective for the people that were having surgery done to them. The incidence of post-surgical infection was dramatically reduced. So I'm not sure why you can just, or why anybody would want to just dismiss their utility. No, they're not 100%, and no, it's no substitute for a well-functioning immune system, but it is something. And, you know, you have to be cognizant about being hygienic with it. I mean, obviously, if it's dirty, do not reuse it again, or if it's been exposed to potentially a swarm of or a cloud of virions or exudates from people, I mean, obviously use your head. I mean, you're probably going to increase your risk of disease if you're not cognizant of those issues.
One of our earlier programs we did explain in some detail the difference between N95 and the KN95 masks, which it's right there in the archive. I'd urge all of you to go listen to that program if you missed it. The KN95 masks are Chinese. We'd rather not anyone use a Chinese product like that. And if you do buy a Chinese mask, get a 5 or 10 power magnifying glass and look and see if you see any colored particles in there. If you do, throw it away or take it back, but don't use it. I'd rather see somebody actually go to a fabric store and get some tightly woven cotton product and make your own mask rather than using something from China that is suspicious. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I think with the overproduction of these masks in the last 2 years, I mean, they really raced to get these to market. The quality was compromised, definitely. I mean, there's some really flimsy, probably even dangerous, you know, based on the materials and the particulates in them and contamination in them that you really shouldn't be putting up against your face.
No.
You know, do some homework and find
Scroll.
What works for you. But I the fact that they are now mocking people that are still wearing masks, there seems to be a campaign now to mock mm-hmm. people that are still mm-hmm. wearing masks. I have mm-hmm. to think it's part of the PSYOP.
I would concur. On the right side in the archive, if you'll scroll down, it's almost a page worth of scroll, not quite, but on the right side you'll see a link, 1967 paper entitled The History of Surgical Masks. It's a single-line title. You can find it a little easier that way. It's right below Dr. Luc Montagnier. 16 shocking cases of CJD appear right after taking the bioweapon injections. That's well worth a read as well. I try to put the best of the best over there. 1967 paper, History of Surgical Masks. Go ahead, Eric, if you can pull. Can you pull that up and read that one section that you pointed out?
Yeah. Okay, so this they went back as far as the late 1800s when they started to play with this idea of maybe covering the face, when they determined that bacteria-laden droplets from the nose and mouth were a route of infection or transmission of infection from doctors to patients and vice versa. And I guess during the early 1900s, they reported that various investigators confirmed the value of face masks protecting the wearer against infection. In 1915, Meltzer advised that masks of fine mesh gauze be used to cover the faces of patients with infantile paralysis and the faces of personnel attending them. In 1918, Weaver reported over a two-year period the incidence of diphtheria contracted by attendants of infected patients was reduced to zero after wearing masks of double-thickness gauze. It is interesting to note that the recommended sterilization of masks after each use and replacing a mask with a sterile one when it became moist, and that he cautioned against hands being placed on the mask. So there's
Hold it one second, please. That's a stunning statement that she just read. All right?
And that's just gauze.
And that's gauze. Talk about your ping pong ball through a tennis net. In 1918, Weaver reported, I'm repeating what she just read, that over a two-year period, the incidence of diphtheria contracted by attendants, nurses, of infected patients was reduced to zero after wearing masks of double-thick gauze. That's an astounding discovery in 1918.
Yeah, I don't know how you argue with that. I mean, the results, at the end of the day, is the name of the game. So, again, you know, I'm not advocating wearing it for 8 hours, but in high-risk situations...
Yep. This is a lock. These people weren't joking around. This is a whole new revelatory phase of early medicine. The idea of sterility. It started out with Semmelweis, and it went on here. Now in 1918, masks are considered obviously by that point to be more than wise, and I think they made them mandatory shortly thereafter.
Yeah,
just amazing.
Yeah. So, again, you know, I mean, everybody has to decide for themselves if it's right for you or not. But I think it's worth it at this point because these two-thirds of the population has now taken the bioweapon, and they are shedding spike protein along with microRNAs and something else called URA-3665, which seems to be toxic at the very least. I would just, take the precautions, you know.
You got nothing to lose.
I mean, there is a depopulation agenda.
It's their problem, not yours.
And I would just, reference again this 1993 paper written by Nick Szabo while he was at MIT to the Extropians, the forerunners of the transhumanists. Talking about green goo, which is another name for synthetic biology. And to quote him, he said, the best personal strategy may be to learn as much about a green goo's disease vectors, in this case it's your fellow human beings, as early as possible, and train oneself to avoid the situations and behaviors that tend to enable those vectors.
Couldn't be said any better. Here's a 60-second video, the one I found this morning. This guy talking about don't wear masks. And I'm not sure that his point is well taken or not. He's talking primarily about microplastics being found in people's lungs. He's blaming it on the masks. I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, we're not asking people to wear the mask 24 hours a day. We're just saying, put it on if you're going into a store. I mean, is that crazy? No. Here, take a listen to this. Now, this is going to become an increasing crescendo of people putting down the mask wearers, as Erica already mentioned.
Hey, mask wearers, check this out. April 2022, published study. For the first time ever in human history, microplastics are being found inside human lung tissue. In fact, 11 out of 13 patients that went for surgery recently had microplastics lodged in their lungs, causing God knows what type of damage. Guess what the most popular plastic found in the lungs was? The same exact plastic they use to make the face mask you idiots have been wearing all day, every day, for years, pretending like they're saving you. In reality, you're inhaling toxic Chinese-made plastics that lodge in your lungs and cause you all kinds of health defects. But keep wearing the mask because it's good for you, especially for your children.
Okay, and another intellect at work. I would just suggest that the obvious is that we mentioned, don't buy Chinese masks. They have masks made here. We know the Chinese are not our friends at all. So, and even if you have to go to a store and buy very densely woven silk fabric and make your own, do it. They have them online too. You don't have to get plastic from China, okay? So his point was partially taken, at best. But don't worry about public ostracization. Don't be ostracized. Just don't accept it. If people look at you askance, look the other way. What? It's not their damn business what you do. So anyway,
I don't think anybody believes that the intention is not to eliminate risk, it's to reduce it. It's so that you're not walking into an aerosol or cloud of exhalations or exudates or whatever. No, it's not 100%. It just cuts down on the direct hit.
Oh, exactly. Now, there are a lot of other things happening here, so there's our little mask update for you, okay? But to put the cherry on top, we want you to go to over to the right side of the homepage. I'm going to give you the exact link. Go to the archive there, those of you who are online, and scroll down, not very far, just a little bit. One, two, three down. Shocking, visible proof how masks work. Look. That's what it says. It's the third link down underneath the three-image rotation of what the spike protein is supposed to look like. Third link down, shocking visible proof how masks work. Click on that and be prepared to be amazed. We have on the left a Petri dish. We have on the right a Petri dish. We have on the left a Petri dish with the medium, largely completely intact. Nothing grows on it. Take it away, Erica.
Yeah, so that was a photograph that a medical technician took. She had a mask
medical
on.
Medical lab tech, right.
Yeah. And you know, when you're in that profession, you're used to wearing masks. Not necessarily all day, 18-hour shifts, but you know, for when you're acting with patients or specimens. So she breathed, used a mask, and then breathed through that mask onto a Petri dish and then left it to grow, and then did the same thing without the mask, just breathed onto the Petri dish and let that grow. And the side-by-side comparison is very telling. I mean, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Telling is frightening. Look at
there's a lot. You know, it's Well, okay. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's
all right. Well, let me ask a question. Okay. The medium in the Petri dish on the left is red. The medium in the Petri dish on the right used to be red. She exhaled onto that dish. Look at what has grown in that medium. You mm-hmm. can have anything in there. Bacteria, virus implantation, mold, yeast, fungus.
Yep.
Who knows? That's filth. So that's what a mask can do for the wearer vis-a-vis expelling exudates of all manner. So it's right there. This is a medical lab technician, a professional. She simply coughed on two Petri dishes. So mm-hmm. what do you think, friends? You think a mask works? Now, if it works going out, it's going to work coming in, but maybe not to the same degree. I don't know. We talked about that,
you're avoiding the direct hit. You're avoiding the stuff coming directly onto you. If somebody has just sneezed or coughed or breathed
it hangs
heavily,
in the air, too. Aerosolized
micro drops.
Yeah. They don't go away. They'll float around. They'll go through the air conditioning system. They'll be pushed back out into the general circulation of air. Make no mistake
right.
about it. They don't just disappear.
Right. So, and that combined with one of these portable ionizers is a decent strategy. You know, again, we're not eliminating 100%, but we're just reducing the risk.
And the little portable ionizer is very comfortable. I've had many people ask me, "What is that?" And I tell them, they say, "Really? Where do you get those?" They're very interested, and it's the only thing we know of that can actually do what it says. And what it says it does, it'll put out positive and negative ions, and they will attach to their polar opposites floating around you and drag them down to the ground. It's gravity. It's physics. It just pulls them down, pulls them away from you. So why not? And if you're wondering what we're talking about, look right above headline news on the homepage, and you'll see two banners. There are two different types. There's the white one, which Eric and I wear, and then there's the black one, which costs a little bit more, and it has a whole other level in addition to the ion expulsion that cleans the air and pushes it out toward you, out the holes, so you have a stream of fresh air. So it's doing ions and it's cleaning the air. That's a pretty neat thing, and that can be worn around the neck as well. So we hope you'll consider that. There are things you can do. We don't have to be victims here. We can fight back in our own way, and one of our best ways of fighting back is to stay healthy, keep our hands clean, and when we are around other people, wear a mask for them and for yourself.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I mean, the reports I'm hearing, in fact, you had a story yesterday, the bacterial infections are also going to be on the rise. Tuberculosis, the mycoplasma infections, particularly, in the people that have received the vaccine. I mean, I hate to say it, but their immune systems are collapsing, and they are succumbing to various bacterial infections and viral infections, and some of these bacterial infections, like tuberculosis, it's not something you want. I mean, that's 2 years of heavy-duty antibiotics to try to get that under control.
If
it's not one of the resistant ones.
Right. There are four different kinds of TB. You don't want any of them. The most common kind can take 6 to 8 months with heavy antibiotics to overcome. That's just TB. Then you've got MDR-TB, multi-drug resistant, XDR-TB, extra drug resistant. And what's the killer? XXDR? I think they gave two X's. I don't remember. But it's you're dead in 10 days or less. So,
and it's contagious.
Very highly.
Remember the story from India.
Yeah, not good. Okay, I found this Zyklon B story. It bothers me. I'll send it over to you. Now, let me find my little list of items here. We have another story, and it's not up yet. Or is it? Did I put the 22-year-old man story up yet? Did you see that in the archive section? Let me take a look and see if it's there. I might have put it up yesterday, or Monday, rather. Hold on. This is well worth a look.
I'm not seeing it, but I do have it here.
Yeah, I've got it here, too. No, I don't see it. All right, well, I will put it up later tonight. But it's really appalling. That's the first word in the story. Appalling vaccine murder of 22-year-old man. And you really want to take a look at this. This was a very short-fused issue. You want to go ahead and read this link? We've got all the social media links. This is a shocker.
This went viral. This is a mother reporting what had happened to her 22-year-old son, who she puts a before and after picture, you know, what he looked like before he took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And he was a healthy-looking guy. And then the next picture, photograph, is him, I don't know how many weeks it was, not long, after he got the shot, and he looks gaunt, and he eventually died. But she relates his story here.
He died 6 weeks, Erica.
Six weeks, okay. That's the first line. And remember, Johnson & Johnson is just one and done. You only need one dose, and that's all it took to kill this person. Okay, she writes, my son, 22, died on the 24th of February, 2022, 6 weeks after his first J&J vaccine. The day after the shot, his nose started running, and he did not feel well. He had episodes of vomiting, and the 13th of February was his last, quote, healthy day. His health deteriorated very, very fast his last weeks. He went to the doctor, where they treated him for a stomach ulcer first. He was vomiting the whole time and severely hydrated with severe stomach pain. I took him back to another doctor a few days later and told him he had the vaccine, and with a stomach x-ray, they confirmed there's no movement in his bowel. They treated him for paralytic ileus. My son had difficulty swallowing. He could not eat. He had no stools. His stomach was bulging, and he was still vomiting. His whole body was shutting down, his kidneys, brain, etc. He looked like a cancer patient. The hospital released him on a fluid diet. I took him back, but he died in my arms. They wanted to resuscitate him, but all that vomit came out his nose and filled his lungs. Nothing they could do for him. This picture was 2 days before his death. He was severely dehydrated and his body shutting down. He complained he could not sleep since he got the vaccine. His brain did not switch off, and he felt strange. We are still waiting for the pathology report, as all organs were sent for histology. The second photo was his normal, healthy self.
We'll have
and
the
then,
pictures
yeah, there's
up
the two pictures.
You. Yeah.
It's frightening. I mean, it doesn't even look like the same person.
No. Not at all.
What a horrific way to go.
Death by needle. Remember that. Please, no needles. Don't let them talk you into anything. You don't need a needle stuck in you unless there's some terribly radical medical emergency, which I can't, frankly.
Yeah. You can't trust what's coming through it. No.
And you can't trust, honestly, many of the people who are putting it into you. You just can't. They're shot up. They're mentally not thinking well anymore. Many of them are in fact, the stage 1 or 2 of AIDS. They're going down. They don't know it. But when you get 2 or 3 of these shots, if they're real shots, and very few people are going to be lucky enough to get 3 saline injections in a row. So it's just a matter of time. And it does seem to be about a year for people to begin to manifest these signs of all kinds of different diseases, super fast cancers. How can that be? It's not that the cancer is different. It's just that the resistance that traditionally would meet in the body is gone. Tell them about
completely.
The P53. It's gone. And that's the spike
protein. Well, that's the first assault, is the spike protein gets into the nucleus of the cell and inhibits the DNA's ability to repair itself. I mean, every day we have damage to our DNA, and we have the natural ability to repair that damage when things are working properly or something isn't interfering with it. Well, in this case, the spike protein interferes with two major pathways. One, the P53, and that's been known as the guardian of the genome. That's a big, big major player in terms of repairing your DNA and then determining what cell gets to live or what cell should die because it's compromised. And if a cell that's supposed to die doesn't die, you've got cancer. And then the other pathway is the BRCA1, if you want to call it that. And that, when that dysfunctions, we tend to see cancers, breast cancers, ovarian cancers, and pancreatic cancers. So you've got two major DNA repair pathways that are compromised, and then the P53 protein itself gets bound to part of the spike protein, and it doesn't work, so the cell doesn't get the signal to die if it's supposed to die. And then we have interferon that is non-existent, apparently, after these shots or severely compromised, and interferon's another regulator of healthy cells or cancerous cells. You have toll-like receptors that can't identify which cells are infected with viruses, so it can't keep them in check or keep those cells from proliferating. Let's see, what else? We have an environment of low oxygen thanks to the microclotting that's going on. So that's another prerequisite for cancer, is it just low oxygen at the cellular level. And then we have an inflammatory cascade happening, which is a promoter of cancer. And then we have things like kisspeptin or metastin, that's one and the same, that another driver, potential driver of cancer that's dysregulated because of the spike protein. So there's all manner of things that are, I would just say that this is a cocktail for cancer, these injections. So many pathways are dysregulated once somebody has these shots. It would be difficult to address all of them.
Can't.
And I think that's why we're seeing these very aggressive and treatment-resistant cancers.
And Dr. Luc Montagnier and his study, 16 people, all with CJD, mad cow disease.
It was like 30 or 40 people, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Let me pull it up. I was getting
confused. Was it 16? There was another one done here. Children's Health Defense reported on another study where I think it was 17 women that were diagnosed with CJD not long after the injections. So that evidence is starting to mount that there's a very strong correlation with developing spongiform encephalopathy after these things.
Yeah, that's mad cow, CJD. Mm-hmm. 16 cases of a new form, they say, of CJD after the shot. Okay, number of days between the SARS-CoV-2 jab and the first identifiable CJD symptoms. Number of days. You got 16 people. Two of them, within one day, showed signs of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Two of them, within one day. The next one was on day 5. Next one was day 7. Next day 8. Day 10. The average days after injection, before showing and manifesting signs of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, mad cow disease, prion disease, was 11 days for these 16 people. One person made it to 30 days. And that was Dr. Montagnier's
last... Yeah, that was the AstraZeneca.
Oh, it was? The AZ?
Yeah, the most of them were Pfizer, Moderna, and then there was one AstraZeneca. That was the one that showed up at 30 days. They began to have the symptoms.
I didn't know which one that was. All right, good. So there you go. Now, these are not Johnson & Johnson. They're almost all mRNA. So it's for real. It's happening. And this is part of the zombie apocalypse thing. When your brain begins to have dead spots in it, or holes where brain tissue used to be, depending upon where that hole appears, you could act like anything.
Yeah. I mean, the neurological consequences of these shots, it's hard to know, because I think there's multiple potential causes for it.
I agree.
One of the things they're doing, I mean, the spike itself can enter into the brain. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. It practically obliterates the blood-brain barrier, so this stuff is getting into the brain and causing inflammation and possibly, you know, amyloid disease, either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or Lewy bodies or prion disease. But then you can also have the reactivation of the latent herpes viruses. And many people don't know this, but herpes simplex 1, which usually just manifests as cold sores on the lips or face, if that reactivates, that can go to the brain. So it's, for whatever
it's
worth.
That's not a joke. Very important point.
A differential diagnosis is extremely important, but a lot of doctors don't seem to do that these days. They just, everything's COVID.
There's one drug that is effective on herpes simplex 1. What is it?
Is it Valtrex?
No, that may be the brand name.
Oh, acyclovir?
Acyclovir. That's
it. Yep.
Acyclovir is, if any of you have herpes simplex 1, cold sores on the lips, on the mouth, on the whatever, on the face, it may work on other forms of it too. But I've read about this for years. That's a very effective, it's one of the only antivirals out there that really does work. And it seems to work pretty well on this particular virus, herpes simplex 1. Now, most people getting shingles don't understand that the shingles are being triggered by the vax in most cases. And if they're getting shingles all of a sudden out of nowhere without the vax, they better start thinking about being shed upon. I have no proof. But you have to start looking in doors that you may not want to look in.
Well, there's an epidemic of people, unvaxxed people, over the past year that came down with shingles after, being around the vaxxed.
Well, that's why I mentioned it. Okay, here's another horror story. Almost 20% of U.S. parents with children under the age of 5. Now, for you parents out there, remember your children. Maybe some of you still have children under the age of 5. What golden years those are. How much fun that is. Almost 20%, 18 to be precise, of U.S. parents with children under the age of 5 intend to have them vaxxed right away. That's the quote. Right away, as soon as they're available. They're going to kill their children in many cases.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I've seen it. I have no trouble believing that based on what I'm reading on social media. Some of these parents cannot wait to get their kids vaxxed. Can't happen fast enough.
Serious COVID-like vax side effects, 40 times higher than reported, says a professor from Berlin. At a big hospital over there. Side effects are being hidden.
Didn't Steve Kirsch come out with that figure several months ago when they were looking at the VAERS?
I think we covered that, frankly.
So that's, they're finding the same thing in Europe.
Yeah.
What do you know?
What do you know? Let's see what else we have here. Where is it? Bird flu. Oh, now watch for this bird flu thing. They're using it to foment a famine. There's no question about that. These inspectors are going around to poultry farm after poultry farm, and I think they've killed 30 million chickens and turkeys already. And a lot of these chickens they're killing are not destined immediately for fast food. They're egg layers. And there was one farm that had 25,000 egg-laying chickens, and they just set fire to the long rows of cages and the building, the shed they were in, and burned them all alive.
That's incredible.
And then fired all the staff. So I guess they all have insurance, and they don't care, and they just burn the chickens or kill them and collect their insurance money. That's modern farming. And I'm not saying a lot of farmers don't have a conscience and feel bad about it, but they are taken care of. All right? That's insurance. You can get insurance for anything. Okay, let's see. I'm going to go back to this. Yeah, I'm going to read this little part from Anthony Patch again. But do remember to look for the story about what happens without a mask when someone coughs or breathes into a clean petri dish and then another one, and look what happens, look what grows. So, you know, protect those around you if nothing else. The mask will retard your exhalation of bacteria and other pathogens. It's right there. Pictures don't lie.
Well, we had that study from University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Center on Monday that we reviewed, and they sampled masks that I guess it was medical personnel who had worn them, and they were able to recover all kinds of exosomes from the inside of those masks. The mask had trapped the exhalations of these people that had worn the masks, and they right. were able to identify them.
And no, we do not want you to sit there all day and breathe your own exhalations. No, and exudates. We don't want that. We simply want you to be safe when you're in a crowded environment. And that's usually 20 minutes to 30 minutes in a store. All right? And you're going to protect others around you, and you'll protect yourself to some degree. Whatever degree that is, we think it's worth it. So wear the mask for 30 minutes. Would be our recommendation. Now, here's Anthony Patch. We played the video, but there's a key part here. I think this really merits some very serious thought. This is 8 years ago. He is forecasting. He's predicting what will happen when people's DNA is changed by some kind of vaccination. The insidious part, he says, of this whole thing is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they have lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own. They're all gone. And to affect them on a moral level, their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness that you've lost, your independence is gone. What then do the powers that be do with these new forms of humans, hybrids, genetic hybrids? They control them. And that's precisely what we're seeing going on now. So I have to say that Patch knew what was coming. He knew the results of these DNA-altering vaccines that were in the pipeline 8 years ago. We didn't know about it, but he did. He's a very smart man. So
I agree. It's uncanny how spot-on he was.
You've seen personality changes in people. Many of you listening probably have, too. If you know anyone who's been vaxxed, say, 6-8 months ago, even 3 or 2 months ago, are they the same? Do they act the same? Do they sound the same? I'll bet you in many cases you're going to notice that there are at least subtle differences. I mean, I've seen people that just, they've done a 180. They're not what they were at all before. So
yeah, there's no question there's neurological effects to this. But I think it goes beyond that. There's something not natural about having this synthetic, diabolical genetic material that's going to override your genetic material.
Right.
It's just not normal. And it's persisting, so it's overriding your God-given DNA. I'm not surprised. I mean, I have heard people themselves that have been injected that they don't feel the same after these shots. There's something off.
Well, and I think a lot of them don't feel good physiologically, and they're staying home, and they're quitting their job.
Yeah.
They don't
want
to work anymore. They don't feel good enough to work. They don't feel right. So
I have heard that.
Now let's take.
And
this.
I think a lot are just trying to maybe ignore what is going on with them physiologically. I think I told you a couple weeks ago. I had a friend. I had no idea there was anything outwardly wrong with her. She was, putting on a happy face, and all things seemed pretty normal. And then the next thing I know, she checks herself into a hospital to find out why she's been chronically nauseous for months on end.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran a bunch of tests, and the test turned up nothing. But the nausea I've heard from a lot of people that have gotten these shots, the gastrointestinal issues, they're just the stomachs, intestines are not right.
Okay, just got a nice email passed over to me. Yes, I did hear that, and I do know about the Kirlian cameras. I agree that it would be revealing, and it was a terrific suggestion. The practitioners that I am contacting are not just naturopaths, for instance. I want those who also see and work with energy fields, a very select few. This is the woman who sent the email to us that I did publish about the healers who are very sensitive to people's energy fields, and they are saying that these people who have been vaxxed aren't projecting anything. They're like dead people. Their energetic fields are gone. And she goes on to say, I'm listening to Erica and Mr. Rentz in the background now, and heard her read that very sad mother's description of her 22-year-old's deterioration and death. And that was, again, 6 weeks after taking the J&J shot. That's it. If you have any inclination to pass on to her that it sounds as if the son's vagus nerve was attacked, perhaps causing uncontrollable spasms and in the process caused gastroparesis. The vagus is the largest nerve that connects all those systems and organs, and if malfunctioning to that extent could cause much of what was described, well, there you go. So thank you for that, Mary. We appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll repeat what I said last time. If anybody out there has a K-I-R-L-I-A-N, Kirlian camera that takes pictures of people's auras and would like to volunteer that camera, keep it. We'd just like to get you to take some pictures of people who have been vaccinated and who have not been vaccinated, and see what kind of aura pictures you get. I think this might be very interesting. So hopefully somebody listening will know someone who has one, or maybe you have one. They're around. So, again, thank you, Mary, for that very much and for sending that earlier report in to us. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Anything we missed here that you want to plunk in here?
Did we see that? It's something about the Omicron. It basically reiterated what Geert Vandenbosch said about these very, very pathogenic variants emerging now in the NVAX. But it wasn't him. It was somebody else that said the same thing.
It is
predictable.
Yeah. It says, the headline is, faster Omicron variants that escape immunity may drive new COVID-19 waves, warned scientists. So,
yeah, I think that's to be taken seriously. I would not regard that as necessarily fear porn, because that's what happens when you introduce a leaky vaccine into a now immune-compromised population. They are going to be generating viruses and all manner of things that are able to escape their immune system, because essentially
there is none.
They don't have one, right.
It'll roll right through them like a power lawnmower on a bright Sunday afternoon.
That is a part and parcel of what happens when we do gain-of-function research. One of the first things you do in a cell culture or cell is take away the cell's immune system.
Okay. To wrap this up, what do we feel, and I'll let you state this, vaccinated people, in fact, are now?
Immune compromised?
They are walking petri dishes.
Yes.
They're weaponized. They are now weapons.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say it, but they are.
And
it's
I think that is that is what a lot of these other distractions are about, is to take the focus off the people that are vaxxed and that are a source of these sometimes very possibly very pathogenic viruses, bacteria, whatever.
And they're collapsing because their immune systems have collapsed. They're gone in many cases. Two shots in Germany, 12% left. That's it. And we don't know what happened a week later after the test.
Right. And there are people that are getting very sick after being around some of these vaxxed people.
Indeed. Okay. Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay,
great
Jeff.
Job, as always.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Have a good evening, everyone. Good evening.
All right, and we'll be back tomorrow night with more as this world continues to spiral, or is it circling the drain? Take care. Talk to you in 21 hours.